This is Tony Cook, and we're doing this recording from Roseville, California. And in my travels, I get to see a lot of great churches, and I see a lot of good things going on. Every once in a while, I see something that is so exceptional and sometimes a little bit unique, and I just have a great desire in my heart to allow a lot of other pastors to experience it, hear it, learn about it. And what I'm finding here in Roseville at Abundant Life Fellowship is no exception to that. I just got into town yesterday and have had a great time here with Pastor Doug Bird, and they have some amazing things going on in the area of outreach and evangelism. And so many times our churches have great pastoring, great teaching and things like that, but sometimes they've had a little bit of trouble getting traction maybe in the area of outreach and evangelism. This is a church that just has some absolutely amazing things going on. And Pastor Doug, thank you for agreeing to take some time here to talk to
absolutely
all the pastors that are going to listen to this. And before we get into what your church is doing, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your background and your journey.
Well, I, you know, grew up in the Northern California area. Going to school, junior high, high school, was an athlete, loved sports, played football, basketball, ran track. Sophomore year, had a great sophomore year. Going into my junior year, had a few colleges peaking and sending me letters. And fast for a little white guy, I was running about a 4.6 40 back then, and that's how many decades ago. But
now, which sport was that for?
That was in football.
For the football, running
football,
back?
Running back, mm-hmm. And safety. And in the midst of pursuing that, I blew my knee out my first game of my junior year. And so my goal and my dream died. And I had no Christian guidance. And out of that, got involved with drugs, started dealing drugs, and tried to be the best drug dealer I could be. And just running with the wrong crowd, getting involved with the wrong influences. And within the next 2 to 3 years, ended up being a part of really the culture of methamphetamine and crank that is known as on the street. And so running with all the cranksters and bike groups, and ended up living up in the hills of Northern California. And people would ask me, what did you do before you become a Christian? I said, I was farming, and just didn't tell them what I was farming. We had thousands of marijuana plants growing, dealing crank, cocaine, LSD, carrying guns, living a very violent lifestyle. And in the midst of that, had a defining moment where God spoke to my heart. Changed my life. I started reading the Bible every night. Sounds like a fairy tale. I'm up in the middle of probably 100 acres, living out in the middle, no electricity, no power, nothing. My partner had a log cabin. I lived in a little tiny trailer with my dog named Muttley. And every night by kerosene lamp, I started reading the Bible. And we didn't have any electric power or anything. We're hiding out from the law, not wanting to be spotted. And as I began to read the scripture, I prayed a simple prayer, because I didn't know if there was really a God or not. And I said, God, if you're real, show me the truth of Jesus Christ. And out of that simple prayer, all of a sudden the scripture started making sense. And I started realizing, here it is, it's 1979. In the year of our Lord, there's something about this Jesus that walked this planet that the mm-hmm. whole dating system is based on. That in itself says that I should try to seek out something to find out if he's real. Out of that prayer, I started going to church, and I finally stumbled into an Assembly of God church, got radically saved, and went from dealing drugs to peddling the gospel. Mm-hmm. Out on the streets of Marysville, every Friday and Saturday night, there was a cruise and passing out tracts and just winning souls. So that's the quick version of mm-hmm. my experience of coming from darkness to light, and that was 28 years ago plus. April 29th, 1979 was my defining moment of life mm-hmm. that I gave my life to Christ, and I've been preaching the gospel ever since.
Excellent. Came to Bible school in Tulsa.
Yes, sir.
Graduated, came back to this part of the country.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Tell us about the beginnings of the church.
Well, we started the church with my wife, three kids, and me. Showed up in Roseville. I don't know. At that time at Rhema, I don't think we had a lot of church pioneering material, if I remember right. If we did, I missed it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't read any books on church pioneering. So we didn't have a lot of those mechanics in place. I wish I would have. But we just came with the heart to say, well, if God's called us here, let's get out and start telling it to the lost. I read T.L. Osborne's book, Out Where the Sinners Are. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if you're going to build a church, you got to get out where the sinners are. And mm-hmm. so we started going, evangelizing and passing out tracts. And very slow, people started coming to church. Mm-hmm. And for months, very slow. We never, probably the first 6-7 months of the church, we never got over 50 people. 50 was always my goal. Could mm-hmm. never reach it. Have my church growth program. We're going to reach 50 people. Mm-hmm. We finally moved into a new facility, actually it was an old church building that we took over. We were subleasing a theater. And I never wrote that goal again when we moved into that building. Instead, I come up with a new goal. Instead of trying to reach 50, I decided to reach one. Mm-hmm. And Luke 15, one coin, one sheep, one prodigal son, joy in heaven over one. So my church growth philosophy went from trying to reach certain numerical numbers, 50, 100, 150, 200, to reaching one. And that's all I've had ever since, is just reach mm-hmm. one. And our theme has been one more. Mm-hmm. So we're going to reach one and then one more.
One at a time?
That's right.
Excellent. You used a phrase last night when we were just visiting after the meeting, and it was influence beyond the curb.
Yeah.
And I loved what you said about that. Can you share that with our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, I was flying back from somewhere, and I'm trying to witness to everything that's around me. So there's a guy beside me, and we started talking. What do you do? I pastor a church, and we run a youth program called Lord's Gym. And I started telling him about some of the things we do. He was going to a denominational church in Oregon. And he said his frustration with the church and his observation was the church had no influence beyond the curb. And I said, talk to me about that. What do you mean? He said, well, if people drive onto our campus and they come to our services, we have influence. But beyond the curb of our church and our complex, we really had no influence in our community. And it just really, it really spoke to my life and to my heart of saying, wow, I think the goal and the mission of the church is to have influence beyond the curb, mm-hmm. not waiting for the people to come, but that we go out into the community, find needs within our community as Christians, as people that believe in faith in God and doing works for God and letting our light shine before men, that people might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So Luke 14 became my theme on that, is that Luke 14 basically describes we're to throw a great supper and not wait for people to come to us, but we're to go out and get them and bring mm-hmm. them to the great supper, which is our church services mm-hmm. and evangelistic outreaches and events that we do.
Let's talk. Go ahead and talk about that, because okay. you guys are doing some really amazing, impacting things in your community. You're not isolated from your community. You're just right in the middle of all kinds of things. And tell us about some of the things that you're doing in terms of the going out and compelling them to come.
Well, one of the programs that we got from Tommy Barnett and Matthew Barnett from the LA Dream Center was Adopt the Block. And again, it's the philosophy of finding a need and then trying to meet that need in the community. And so as we look at our community, we begin to identify the low-income, high-risk neighborhoods of our community, and that we begin to go in and just take it block by block, adopt that block. Every Saturday we meet at 9:30, prayer, organization, and we started to adopt the block with two people. Mm-hmm. And really, it's really only been one person that really spearheaded it for a long time, was Becky, which she did it so well. Now she's on staff full time. Mm-hmm. But slowly, people started buying in and realizing anybody could go out and do this. And we would take food, toilet paper, diapers, baby food, because those ended up being the two most requested things within a low-income, high-risk areas, diapers for the kids and baby food. Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, if that's the number one need, let's try to meet that need. And we would go door to door, knock on the door every Saturday, 10 to noon is all we do, 2 hours, and just say, hey, listen, we're here from Abundant Life, and is there anything we can do for you? Mm-hmm. Do you need anything? We've got some food in the car. We've got some diapers, got some baby food. Maybe we saw that their yard hadn't been mowed. Hey, we can mow your yard. Maybe the yard needs to be picked up. We can pick up the yard. Hey, we got a basketball program for your kids. We'll take your kids to the basketball program. Out of that, it just kept growing, and now we have a small army that goes out every Saturday. And those people that we begin to reach block by block, now we run buses back on Sunday mm-hmm. and pick many of them up and bus them back to our services. So, and then out of that has given us even credibility with the heathen, that, you know, the lost and people that really don't want anything to do with God will respect those that will help the needy and help the poor. Mm-hmm. And it really has given us credibility where we have corporations like UPS and others joining in with us and helping us and funding different outreach programs that we do that way.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed you said is you started with, what did you say, one or two people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So you weren't afraid to start small.
That's right.
You didn't have to have some massive outreach program to begin with.
Right.
You just started working with who you could, doing what you could.
That's right. I got a phrase that I use all the time. If you can't do all you want, do all you can. Mm-hmm. Always, we always say, I would do this if I had enough money, I would do this. If we had enough people show up, I would do this. When my church gets so big, I'll do this. Instead of doing that, what can I do? Instead of what would I do if I could?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can't do all you want, do all you can. And so with that philosophy is kind of, we've done a lot of programs based on that, and it's grown out of that, but we were able to get one or two people to come. We were able to get a couple bags of groceries, get some diapers, get some baby food, and out of that we just did what we could.
Mm-hmm.
And we still can't do all we want, because when you start reaching hurting poor areas of your city, you will get overrun and you will get totally overwhelmed by the need.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll realize, I can't meet all these needs. Well, God never asked us to meet all the needs. He just asked us to do what we could.
Mm-hmm.
So we do what we can.
Excellent. Well, one of the things I know that you all are doing right now, when I drove in yesterday, I didn't actually meet you here at the church. I met you at another facility in a town, 40 minutes from here,
South Sacramento.
So tell us about that project.
That's part of our Lord's Gym. Lord's Gym is a youth outreach center that we started, sports outreach center that we started back about 14 years ago. In our city, we saw that our city didn't have a boys club or a YMCA. There was no open gym policy with the high schools or junior highs. So we thought the kids needed a youth center. So we dreamed a dream, and we started a Lord's Gym, and out of it, it's begun to grow. We have almost 20 of them across the nation. Actually, we're international, too. We have two in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and one and another one getting ready to start on American Samoa, a little island out mm-hmm. in the Pacific. But South Sac is a continuation of what we started 14 years ago, something that we've been believing for over 10 years. That in our Sacramento Valley is the most high-risk neighborhood that we could identify. And we identified it years ago, and we've always dreamed, you know, that area needs a Lord's Gym. The kids need something like that.
So you deliberately went for the roughest area you could find.
Yeah, on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I asked God for a scripture, and he gave me a chapter. And Luke 14 is the chapter. On purpose, you find the hurting. You go into the highways and the byways, compel them to come. But it says, really, if you read it right and really, you know, kind of paraphrase it for where we're at, it literally says, we are, as the church, to go out on purpose and to find the greatest hurt and the greatest need and then try to meet that need.
Mm-hmm.
So in our area, that was South Sacramento, in our Sacramento Valley. So we just recently, 3 weeks ago, we bought a roller skating ring, and we're in the midst of converting that to a Lord's Gym Youth Outreach Center and kind of a dream center type philosophy again there, and doing Adopt the Block and all the programs that we do
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah. You mentioned the Lord's Gym, and you were kind to take me through the facility last night, and it was pretty awesome. It was pretty neat, the weights and all the different areas, and you had these massive scriptures on the wall.
Yes, sir.
And you had, I know one place you had this massive, a poster is not the right word. It's a lot bigger than a poster, this plan of salvation and everything.
Yes.
And you say that you've got guys coming in who will go up to the counter and stuff and,
oh, yeah, just ask, what's that mean on the wall? You know, are you ready for eternity? I don't know anything about God or church or anything, but I think I need to get saved or whatever you guys are talking about there. And we lead people to the Lord just because of the scripture and the plan of salvation on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, also when you walked in, you noticed we had signed memorabilia of some of the top Christian athletes in the nation, from the late Reggie White to David Robinson to one of our dear friends, Eric Chavez with the A's. The kids come in, and I got that idea by going into a Planet Hollywood and a Hard Rock Cafe. And I saw all the world having all its worldly memorabilia with all their stars signed. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if you had Christian memorabilia, Christian athletes signing stuff, two kids talking to them about achieving their dreams, their goals, living drug and alcohol free, reading their Bibles. And then I always ask the players to put their favorite scripture on it, which gets a lot of kids into the Word of God, because they go, what does that Philippians 4:13 mean? Mm-hmm. What does that scripture mean that the guy wrote on there? Good, I'm glad you asked. Here's a Bible, let's look it up. And letting these kids know, these guys that you watch on TV, they're competing in athletics, their source of strength is God. Their source of wisdom is from the scriptures. They go to chapel, they go to church. And so that's kind of part of the theme of the Lord's Gym. They come in. It's a sports outreach center. It's a YMCA, but maybe just reshaped a little different. Mm-hmm. Same goal.
Real strong message emphasis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, obviously, Lord's Gym. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus and bench press this, the cross, sin of the world. And we emphasize this is obviously a Christian organization. They don't have to guess. You know, if they forget what C means in YMCA, we want to make sure they don't forget in Lord's Gym. This is about Jesus. This is his gym, his vision, his program, and he loves you and wants to reach you. Mm-hmm. So that is how the whole concept of Lord's Gym works. But then also to have a place that's fun, from weights to basketball. We've got karate. We've got boxing. We've got hip-hop breakdown dancing classes. We've got a computer lab, Sony PlayStations and Xboxes and all the mm-hmm. other stuff. Pool table and, you know, foosball, all the good mm-hmm. stuff that kids like.
And you said the Sacramento Kings came in and were a part of the computer thing right. being set up.
Yes.
How did that come down?
Well, the NBA has a program called Read to Achieve. And part of the Read to Achieve program is that NBA teams go out into their communities and find new centers and different programs that are helping reach young people and then help those centers have a computer learning center so that we could do after-school tutoring and learning. So the Kings found out what we were doing, came over and donated a complete Read to Achieve Learning Center with all the computers and printers and TVs and some signed memorabilia from the athletes and all done in the Kings colors and brought mm-hmm. the entire team out, cheerleaders and mascot. Mm-hmm. Got out here, met with all our kids, and it was just a great thing.
Yeah.
And again, it was an honor for the Kings to come out and do that for us. But mm-hmm. it's really helped us reach kids with their education. We have a math, English, science, all computerized and on the computers, and teachers that volunteer to help us with that program.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the Kings' involvement, the Sacramento Kings NBA right. team. You also told me something to the effect that you guys are somehow connected with United Way.
Right.
And that you're getting a lot of funding that way for a lot of these programs you're doing right. for the kids in your community.
Right.
How does that work?
Well, there's a lot of pastors going to listen to this, and as they hear what I'm talking about, they immediately, if they're like me, we start thinking dollars. That mm-hmm. sounds like a great idea. That's a lot of money. And it really is. I mean, actually, when I felt like the Lord spoke to me about doing the Lord's Gym, the first thing I did was I kind of rubbed my fingers together like, hey, that's a lot of money, Lord. And I heard the Lord speak back in my heart and said he begins everything with vision, not provision. Mm-hmm. If we have vision, provision comes. But you still need provision. Out of doing that, praying, believing, keeping my eyes open, why is the serpent harmless as a dove? I got a check years ago that somebody in their employee giving campaign designated. And I think at that time it was for like our Yogi Bear Sunday School. And we got that check, and I saw it. Here's United Way's contacting us to come down and fill out some paperwork so we could receive a check that somebody designated from their workplace to give to us.
To Yogi Bear Sunday School.
That's when we had our Yogi Bear Sunday School bus okay. program going.
Okay.
And out of that, I started thinking, wow, what could you do if you had 1,000 employees out there or 2,000 employees and you got the word out that you can give to help reach young people? So we started developing the testimonies of a lot of the kids that were ex-gang members that had been raised up in the ministry at Lord's Gym, developing their stories to take them out to the workplace and do a workplace presentation about how they could give, designating Lord's Gym through their United Way giving to help little Johnny get out of the gangs and get off drugs and get off alcohol. And we, at this time, we had had, you know, hundreds of stories of kids that have come through the center. And so we just started putting together teams, going out to the workplace. And we right now, presently, over the last 4 years, we've averaged over $100,000 a year that we raise through United Way Employee Giving Campaign. And again, that's with no strings attached, and just getting into the mix. So we're trying to teach pastors and leaders how to raise money that doesn't drain the church budget, but actually becomes a blessing to the church, a place where you can not only make it a self-sufficient ministry that is completely funded through whether it's United Way giving or federal grants, nonprofit grants, community grants, private grants, but also a place where we can employ our young men and women and give them a place to be trained, hands-on ministry in reaching young people.
What's going on? I noticed today, this is Saturday when we're recording this, you had a lot of basketball activity going on. What's going on with that?
As part of our Lord's Gym basketball program, we do a basketball league. We're actually on the lower side, and it's about 300 kids in our basketball program. We'll normally have about 400 or 500 kids in our basketball program. And so we have all the teams, Lord's Gym Kings, Lord's Gym Lakers, Lord's Gym Timberwolves, Lord's Gym Pistons. And so all the kids are all in their Lord's Gym uniforms. And we have the teams come together before the game, the champion circle, and they kneel down, and we teach them, based on John Wooden's Pyramid of Success, a character-building principle every week: enthusiasm, loyalty, team spirit, leading to the pinnacle of success, which is competitive greatness. As Coach Wooden describes, competitive greatness is giving your best when your best is required. Maybe it's on the basketball court. Maybe it's in the neighborhood. Maybe it's when your friends try to tempt you to do drugs and you say no. Well, you just hit the pinnacle of success, competitive greatness. So we make it real practical, teaching them character-building principles to help them come to the pinnacle of success in their life. That's from kindergarten through high school that we're doing our basketball program. We pray. Kids play basketball. We do it again for every team that comes in. At the end of the season, all the kids get a trophy because all the kids are champions. Trophies just vary in size depending on what place they got. Mm-hmm. And then we have a special speaker, turn into an evangelistic outreach, give an altar call, and moms, dads, and kids get saved.
Neat.
Yeah.
Very good.
And we get to have fun, too, playing basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm from Indiana, so I'm all for that.
Absolutely.
You showed me last night the building that your Lord's Gym got started in.
Right.
And that wasn't a lot to start with, was it?
No. It was a Quonset Tin Hut building that was a Borden's Dairy back in the 50s. It had slanted floors, coming down into drains, so they'd bring the milk trucks in, wash them out, and drain everything down. Then a body shop took it over, so now you have that mixed with all the grease and everything else, and then we took it as is, no insulation, nothing, just, again, a Quonset round tin hut is all it was, with the big roll-in doors, and we took it as is, poured a concrete cap over that to level the floors out, put a roll-in basketball hoop from Costco at one end and a few pieces of weight equipment at the other end and said, Lord's Gym's now open. Mm-hmm. Out of that, people started seeing what we were trying to do. It's like the field of dreams. You build it, they come. And we just made a commitment. Whatever we put in this is going to be excellent. Mm-hmm. It might not be the best equipment, but it's going to be top-notch, commercial-grade gym equipment, not home workout stuff that's beat up and broke down. I wanted to give the kids the absolute best I could. As we begin to cast that vision and people were able to walk in and see what we were trying to do, then it began to grow and expand, and we put in over $500,000, which most of it's been paid for through our giving campaign. Praise the Lord. Wasn't from the church budget.
And when you say from the giving campaign,
the
United Way?
Yeah, the United Way giving campaign, and also the we've got county grants and private grants and other things too. Our gym in Kentucky has actually got almost $700,000 worth of federal grants. They're smarter than I am. They figured out how to get that. Mm-hmm. But I'm asking them to share the wealth, teach me how to get that done. But
right.
The grant writing process for pastors who are listening, if they've ever pursued it, it can be complex. But I just say don't get discouraged. Don't give up. God's got the right people. He's sending to you to teach you how to write those grants and get that for your nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm. So you obviously have some real specific target audiences here. You're not just doing this for, you know, the general public. You've got some people that you're trying to target and
yeah,
reach.
Our number one target are young people.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that, we want the at-risk youth, the kids that are in a single-parent environment, being raised by a single-parent mom that is working. They have no real leadership in their home, and that's really all my staff almost fit that demographic and that situation that it was in their life. And that Lord's Gym becomes a father figure. There's leadership that they can find there. All our staff are all trained. They're all youth workers and been trained in our Bible school and in different areas of ministry. And I have them going through Rhema correspondence and other things to sharpen their skills. And so when they come in, that they're able to speak into the leadership void that has been in these young people's lives. So our real main target are the at-risk young people,
mm-hmm.
those kids that are already dabbling with drugs and alcohol in a single-parent environment that we can really speak into their life and add them the leadership that they're really looking for. One of my staff, he said he never found leadership in the home, but he found it in his older brother that was running with the gangs. He said, if my older brother would have been into basketball, I'd have picked up a basketball. If he was into music, I'd probably have picked up a guitar,
mm-hmm.
but he was into gangs. So I began to pick up a rag and run with the gangs like he did.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal in life was to end up in prison with his older brother. And his older brother is serving a life sentence right now because of his gang involvement and violence. And he would have his wall would be completely posterized with all the prison letters that his brother would send him. And he said, it sounds kind of twisted, but this is the way a lot of these kids are. He said, to end up in prison would have been like going to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the pinnacle of success. I've got a reputation now. I went to prison for my crimes, and now I come out, and now I really have a bigger reputation. And in the midst of all this stuff that he's involved in, he came into a Lord's Gym, and he found someone that really cared for him, found people that loved him for not who he was, but loved him in spite of who he was,
mm-hmm.
and began to speak into his life and begin to add leadership and showed him a different vision and a different future that he could have for his life. Jeremiah 29:11 is our theme scripture. God said, I know the plans and the future that I have for you. Plans of good and not evil to give you a future and a hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're casting that into those kids. And Joaquin is one of the young men that I'm talking about. And now he's went from that to now he's providing leadership for these kids that have that leadership void and vacuum in their life.
Mm-hmm. Doug, you shared earlier about, first of all, you had a strong background in sports.
Right.
I remember playing ball against you at Rhema.
That's right.
You were good. And you mentioned about the background in drugs and all that. So you
right.
have some degree of rough background that you're coming out of.
Yeah.
It seems like God is taking both of these elements of your background, and we're not celebrating the
right.
farming background that you had, you know, the drug growing, marijuana growing background. But it's just historically that's what you did
right.
before you got born again. But it seems like God's redeeming that in the sense of enabling you to take those parts of your background and merge them into maybe a perspective, maybe a passion,
right.
To reach in this specific direction.
Yeah.
How much of that has given you credibility with some of these kids and stuff like that? I mean, I'm sure at some point you share
yeah,
testimony and
absolutely. It does to a degree. I think what really gives you the greater credibility is your love.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am. I'm 51 years old now. I'm almost bald. I'm a short little white guy. I live in a pretty affluent area of the Sacramento Valley, Roseville. And now here's this short little white guy going to the hood. I have nothing in common with the urban culture, hip-hop, rap, and all the urban culture. But I'm able to relate with them based on my love because
mm-hmm.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God does take you out. You know, he Acts 26, Saul is going down the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him, and he said, I'm taking you from the people to whom I'll now bring you back to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think God does deliver us out of circumstances, situations, and then it gives us a place of going back and speaking back into those areas. But I don't think it's necessary. And again, I use that of South Sac because I don't look like the people that I'm reaching, and I really don't have anything really in common. I could talk about growing dope back in the 70s, and that's not going to really relate to them right now, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like Tommy Barnett and Matthew Barnett. They're in the inner city of L.A. and reaching the inner city based on their love. But I am smart enough to give me a testimony of someone that I reached that has the testimony that they will relate to. So it's the Joey Steelmans and the Joaquin Fabellas, these guys that ran with the gangs that you look at them, you can tell that they were pretty rough guys. They're pretty big, strong, strapping guys. They got all their tattoos on, but they love Jesus now. So I bring them with me. So I want to relate, you know. I don't want to get beat up by anybody. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
If you were talking to a pastor right now, and the pastor said, you know, Doug, you're doing a great job reaching the inner city. You're pulling in all these kids through all these outreaches and all these programs and stuff. And I think it's neat what you said about that banquet then at the end of the basketball season and the moms and dads, you know, get saved and that type of thing. But let's say you get somebody who says, you know, I just don't have a sports background. I don't have a sports, you know, I don't even have a passion to use sports the way you are. You know, we may not even have an inner city thing in our, you know, community that, you know, maybe we're more rural or whatever.
Right.
What principles do you have here that maybe somebody could take and apply where they're not going to follow your exact model? They're not going to do the exact things that you're going to do. But what are the principles that they could take and work in their setting and with their background?
Well, and I said it earlier, a vision statement from a church was to win the lost, heal the brokenhearted, and meet the needs of people. That will work for anyone. And so here we are in, say, maybe I had a friend in East Texas. Well, all the sports and all the different, you know, the hip-hop, the breakdance and all that, that's not going to go over in East Texas. A bunch of cowboys down there, and they like rodeo, and they like roping the calves and everything else. So he started Cowboy Church and a roping outreach that he did on a Thursday night. And when I went to his church, I mean, there were probably half the church had been won to Christ because of showing up at one of his cowboy outreaches. So, again, it's looking at your culture, looking at your city. What's the need? Mm-hmm. They didn't have a open roping arena in his area, so he built it. Mm-hmm. What's the need in your area? What can you do? What area do you feel like, hey, there's a need, and I could meet that? You know, and I think that's what the pastors have to say. But John chapter 4, don't say 4 months, then comes harvest. Jesus said what? Lift up your eyes and look. I think we've got to look. Look beyond our curb, beyond our complex, beyond our church, and look out to our city and begin to identify the needs, begin to identify different methods and ways that we think we could reach the young people. Again, I'm reaching young people with things that I have nothing in common with. I do not know how to break dance. I don't know anything about the hip-hop culture, but those kids respond to it. So I'm a wise fisherman. I say, let's get some bait then and throw it out there. I would challenge every pastor to do the same thing. What can I do to reach my city? And then if they already have something, it's what else can I do now to reach my city? Can I start a feeding program? Can I start an outreach? Can, you know, maybe it's skateboarding. Well, let's go out and reach the skateboarders. There's some guys traveling around the nation, do the extreme sports outreach thing. Well, let's bring those guys in, you know. Say, well, I don't have the money. Well, don't worry about the money. Worry about the vision. Vision, then provision. And again, we use that in some areas of our life, and then we go brain dead when it comes to outreach. Well, I just can't afford to do that. Hey, it works the same way. Get a vision. Get it in your heart. Pray over it until it becomes big on the inside of you. And then if you can't do all you want, do all you can. And start going forward to do something. And I promise you, God will open up the door to something that's exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ask or even think about. And the Amplified, it says, even dream about. And God will open up something for you to touch your city. If you have a heart to touch your city, God will give you a way and a method to do it.
Excellent. You know, you used a word a minute ago about the right bait, having the right bait.
Right.
And you are using, you know, basically things of the world to reach the people of the world. And you, I know you preach a great gospel. You're very solid. You're very committed, you know, to Jesus and his death, his burial, his resurrection. You know, you're solid on Jesus as anybody I know, but you're using bait.
Absolutely.
To catch these fish.
Yeah.
And how many people do you think have the attitude that, well, if I just teach the word, they will come?
Yeah. Well, again, we're waiting for them to come, but really that's not scriptural. We're to go.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, go to all the world. Mm-hmm. Preach this gospel. So our mandate, the last really great word that Jesus spoke before he left the planet was go. And we need to go and outreach. And thank God for good teaching and ministry and all the other things. And we don't sugarcoat it. When people come to our services, I preach the straight gospel. I talk about the blood. I give an altar call. We'll call sin, sin. And I'll scream, yell, and stomp my foot and do all the good things, you know, and give an altar call for people to rise up, challenge them to come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to reaching out and drawing the crowd, I think then that's when we begin to look for the bait. And the example, when we do an outreach in South Sac, I wouldn't outreach to South Sac like I do here. So in South Sac, it's very...
That's the rougher area.
It's the rougher area. Mm-hmm. It's more urban setting. So I bring in my hip-hop guys. I bring in a rap artist. I'm bringing in different things. Even the prizes that I give away are more to what they would want. You know, that would
give us some examples.
Well, iPods are good, mm-hmm. but you know, things that they would like from the kids. And again, it's listening. What do kids like? Just go look, go to a high school campus, talk to the kids that are getting out of high school and see what they've got, see what kind of backpacks they have and see what kind of things they're carrying around. Find out, you know, are there a bunch of skateboarders there? Some of the areas we're reaching, there's no skateboarders. In Roseville, a lot of skateboarders. Well, kind of different culture. Find out what they like. Use the bait of the things they like to draw them in. That's not sin. You know, we're not trying to draw them with sin, but appealing to them on the different prizes that we always kind of do, like a raffle, free raffle. But it's like the old missions that you didn't get to eat until the gospel was preached.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get any prizes till we preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you better have faith in the gospel. Now, if the gospel comes with power, then the presence of God comes. I don't care who they are. They'll come to Christ. And then we can give away all the prizes and have a great big time and fun.
Yeah, what are some of the outreaches you've done and what kind of results do you see?
Well, we just got through with two major outreaches in South Sac. And we partner with a team of athletes called Radical Reality, where they go in and do high school and junior high assemblies, break bricks, blow up hot water bottles, bend iron bars, rip phone books in half, you know, all the feats of strength. And then we invite the kids back out to a night meeting. At the night meeting, then we go out before the meeting too. We do a flyer blitz and passing out, hey, free tickets. We got a free raffle, a lot of fun, good hip-hop, breakdancing artists, the whole thing. So we went in and we did that. We did a high school assembly. We went out, did a flyer blitz at a high school and a junior high campus, invited the kids back out. And really, because of this area, the kids don't have a lot to do. So we caused such a big buzz, we actually really over-promoted this thing. We ended up with thousands of kids came back to our night meeting. We were totally overrun, didn't hardly know what to do, but we pulled it off. Hundreds got saved. It was great. Mm-hmm. So we did another one, again, with the same kind of methods. We went out, high school, junior high campuses. Kids are getting out of school, put up some posters, advertised free bands, free rap artists, free hip-hop dance contest, the whole kind of thing, mm-hmm. all the prize giveaway. And the kids came, and we ended up with over 1,200 kids at that one, and 300 or 400 that came and got saved at that one. So I was sharing this with you earlier. I'm trying to experiment with some of the things that I've learned over 28 years and then just trying to repackage it for the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I would run it different in Roseville than I would in South Sac. And I would say for every area, you know, it would be according to their culture. But I know that every church could do an outreach and bring kids in. Kids will come. Mm-hmm. If you make it fun, if you throw a party and give enough stuff away, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
And then you better have something to attract them.
Yeah.
You know, the right music. You know, these kids in the South area, if I start playing, and I love Hillsong. Hillsong's great music. If I played Hillsong there, they would probably rush the stage and tear up all the instruments and beat everybody up. They are not into that kind of music. I better come with some rap and some hip-hop style gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way I'm going to reach those guys. Yeah.
So you know some of what you're doing, but you've also made statements, Pastor Doug, that some of this stuff you don't know. You're kind of learning as you...
I'm experimenting.
And I think sometimes people feel like if we don't know exactly,
absolutely,
then we can't act.
Yeah.
But you've been willing to act. You know some things. You're not unwise, but you don't know every variable. You don't know every little thing.
John Maxwell wrote a book, Failing Forward. I thought, what a great title. I actually did read the book. Sometimes I don't read. I just like the titles, you know. But I read this book, and just the whole concept of not being afraid of failure. I'm not afraid to go out and try to do an outreach and fail.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back to the drawing board and look what worked, what didn't work. And we're still trying to perfect some areas of this. We've done two major outreaches in this area, and we can see already, you know, we learned a lot from the first one to the second one. We're getting ready to do a third one and a fourth and a fifth, and just not being afraid to fail. And at least if we fail, let's fail forward. And there's always people in our church that will not understand it. There's always people that say, listen, I don't want to reach those kind of people. That's all right. You don't have to reach those kind of people. We will.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go out. We got a team of people that will go out. So I just encourage the pastors, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try something. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we got.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't like what we got, change mm-hmm. what we're doing. Make some changes. And I think this last year has been a year of change for me, that I had to kind of reassess where we are as a church and kind of hit that plateau area and said, you know, it's time to mix it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like some of the things that are going on. So as a pastor and a leader, let's make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change our method. Let's change our outreach style.
Mm-hmm.
Not the gospel. That's one thing I see a lot of churches changing their presentation of the gospel
mm-hmm.
to make it easier on the people. I say, don't do that. Our outreach methods, maybe we change that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ever change the gospel. Preach it straight, right to the point. Give a good altar call.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. What about getting people involved? Does everybody want to jump on board and be involved in outreach? Or are you just working with, you know, the ones that kind of sense that similar call, similar spirit, similar passion?
Yeah. You know, what is it? The number one fear, the number one phobia is the fear of public speaking,
mm-hmm.
speaking to a stranger, doing something you've never done before, especially in a public kind of evangelistic, let's go out. So I think we've got to, you know, ease people into some stuff, give them mm-hmm. projects that are easier. Like, can you carry a bag of groceries for us while we walk up to the door? Can you bring your pickup? We can use your pickup to put some groceries in as we go out to our adopt the block. But it's also pulling the excuse out. In other words, well, I'm not an evangelist. That's not my calling. Well, Jesus said in Mark 1:17, come follow me mm-hmm. and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm like, well, if you're following Jesus, he's going to put a fishing pole in your hand. He's going to teach you to fish for, now everybody will fish different, mm-hmm. but everybody's a part of the outreach. Everyone's a part of the gospel. And we have to teach our church that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to teach our church that we're all called to be preachers. We're all called to be the fishers of souls. But we all have different giftings that will cause us to do it different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not be the one that takes the mic and gives the challenge for the gospel. Maybe I assist. Maybe I'm a musician, or maybe I'm real good at ushering, or maybe I'm just good at in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just good at, here's a novel idea. How about just show up?
Mm-hmm.
If you just show up, God can do something.
Mm-hmm.
You just show up and pray. So, again, it's mobilizing people, letting people know, listen, everybody is needed. Everybody is wanted. And people start joining in and realizing, you know, there's a job that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
What was the saying? It's hard to steer a parked car.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get, go, G-O, go, mm-hmm. go, show up. And I think out of that, people begin to find, hey, this isn't that hard. I had a gentleman come to me on our last outreach, and he said, Pastor, the thing that is really neat about what we're doing right now is that we're teaching the church that everyone can have a part. Everyone can do this. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are a little nervous about going into the inner city, nervous about reaching a bunch of wild, crazy young people that might on the surface look hard, not realizing, hey, they're just kids with broken hearts. You know, they got some dysfunctional families and environment. And as we brought our church into this environment, the fear factor has kind of eased, and people are realizing, listen, I can do this. I mm-hmm. can make a difference. I can go over, and even though somebody does look different than I am, they're younger than I am, they're of a different race than I am, mm-hmm. it's all right. Love is something that unifies all of us, and I can just go over and love on people and say, hey, how you doing, and mm-hmm. just smile and be friendly. So we're really kind of trying to teach everybody can be a part of this great harvest plan of mm-hmm. God in these last days.
That is great. One of the things, too, Doug, that I've noticed here is that you'll hear a lot of churches talking about doing an evangelistic event, and that's great, but you guys are doing more than an evangelistic event or even evangelistic events, plural. You have outreach kind of woven into the fabric of your being. It's not just an event of outreach, but you have a culture of outreach.
Yeah.
And it's from that culture, it's from that heart, it's from that mindset that the events are launched.
Right.
And I think, I'll be honest with you, one of the most common things that pastors say to me is that they are frustrated because the people are just so content to just come to church and get blessed, and they want to hear a good message.
Right.
You know, both of us came out of an environment in the body of Christ that was heavily, if we can call it, a teaching revival. And that was something from God.
Right.
And teaching will always be important. Teaching will always be a component of the overall spectrum of what we do. You know, teaching the Bible is always going to be important, but it's not the only thing that's important.
Right.
And it's not always going to be the ultimate thing that God is emphasizing at any one moment.
Right.
And this outward focus. What would you say to a pastor who says, you know what, I've got a congregation full of people, and I just can't seem to get anybody interested in outreach? What would you say to them?
Preach the gospel.
Okay.
I mean, just preach what Jesus came. Preach Mark 1:17. Jesus said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers mm-hmm. of men. I'll give him a couple quotes from Jerry O'Dell, which I'm sure Jerry got them from someone else, or the T.L. Osborne or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Never have so many known so much and done so little.
Say that again.
Never have so many known so much and done so little.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of the power and the reason for the knowledge is to win the lost. You know, YWAM has a great mission statement, to know him and to make him known. I say that if all we do is spend our time to know him without making him known, there's a disconnect of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel, it's twofold. Obviously, I want to know God. I want to learn more about his word. I want to worship him. I want to magnify him. And it seems that churches are maybe one or the other. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we're a nurturing culture church, and we just want more of God. You know, more knowledge, more praise, more worship, more seminars, more books, more whatever. But you become really incomplete and stagnant without the outflow of making him known. So I think it starts. I think that really starts from leadership. The mm-hmm. pastor has to realize, if I'm not comfortable doing outreach, if I'm not comfortable to be a soul winner, then I need to go partner with somebody, get some tapes, go hang out with Tommy Barnett, go to Tommy Barnett's pastor school in February of every year, and get around a church that has a culture of nothing but outreach, and then pick one or two ideas mm-hmm. that you can bring back to your church and begin to implement.
And it's okay to start small.
Absolutely, it's okay to
start.
Everything we've started is small.
It's okay just to start with a handful of people.
Right, and it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins to really, people start seeing others come in. And how'd you come in? Well, I came in through Adopt the Block. I came in through the food minister. I came in through Lord's Gym. I came in through the basketball program. And people realize, you know what, I can get a part of this. I mean, there's a gift of giving. I always tell people, I say, listen, if you don't feel comfortable with anything else, write a check.
Yeah.
You know, you give to, but don't just write it with purpose. I mean, I've got businessmen that know and have come to me and say, Pastor, keep on dreaming because I'm dreaming too. God's going to help me fund some of the things you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good feeling to a pastor. It's like, okay, brother, I'm dreaming pretty big, so you better dream bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You better get a lot of money. But again, I think it has to start from the top. Pastors say, well, I'm not comfortable with evangelism. Well, then you better start praying and really dig in.
Mm-hmm.
And you better get comfortable with it. Paul wrote to a pastor, Timothy, and he said, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. There's a mandate. There's a challenge. And I think we got to get back to the ABCs of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This was about taking this gospel to the world from the very start of the church, from Genesis to Revelation. God has a one-track mind to get back what he lost in the garden, which was fellowship with man. Jesus came so that all men might be saved. God's not willing that any would perish, but all come to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have plenty of scriptures, and of course, the call of God, Isaiah 6 and 8. Who will go for us and who shall we send? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. God's not looking for the qualified. He's looking for those that are just available,
mm-hmm.
That would step forward and say, God, I don't have much. There's not a lot. I don't have a lot of skills, but God, whatever I have, I'm willing to give to you.
Mm-hmm.
Use me to reach the lost and reach the hurting. So I think it has to start from the top. It doesn't come from the top. If the pastor can't get his heart into outreach and evangelism, it probably will never happen in the church. And not that the pastor has to be the most gifted in an evangelistic arena, but at least he has a heart for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be big enough as a leader to bring in someone that really has the stronger giftings of outreach and evangelism and let them shine and not be intimidated by that. And in every church, I believe they're there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doug, I want to thank you for not only taking the time for this interview, but I want to thank you for your heart. I want to thank you for your passion. I want to thank you for living that passion out in this community and then in communities beyond. And I really pray that this will be something that will really stir in a lot of pastors' hearts. And I know that not everybody's going to just exactly replicate all the methods and so on.
Right.
But if they can catch the heart,
yes,
and then identify the needs in their communities as right, well as the tools and resources that they have to be effective in carrying out that Luke 14 of creating a great supper, compelling people to come in.
Right.
And it's not to take anything away from the message that we preach, but the world doesn't understand the message that we
right,
preach. So sometimes we have to use bait to connect them to
that's
the message.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And even though everybody won't necessarily replicate, I did want to say this Lord Jim's concept that you have, you do have kind of a template,
yes, we
type
do,
of thing where others are picking up on that and they can contact you. We'll have your
absolutely
website, email, something on this so that they can contact you, because there may very well be some pastors that hear this and think, you know what, we'd love to do a community outreach, yeah, like that, that would involve those kinds of methods.
We've helped almost 20 churches do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of our dream, and our goal is to empower other churches that feel this spark of reaching the young people and reaching the youth through sports outreach and just teach them what we've learned. And of course, they'll probably have ideas that I never thought of. So we share, iron sharpens iron, and we'll sharpen each other and get better at this.
Excellent.
Amen.
Pastor Doug, thank you so much.
It's an honor. Thanks, Tony.